This is the 930 WFMD Weekend Free Talk Express, featuring highlights from local talk shows.
It's Easter weekend, and we thank you for joining us for some highlights from our morning and afternoon local talk programs here on WFMD. And I'm Frank Mitchell. We get started with Bob Miller, the morning mayor, on the Morning News Express with producer Chris Michaels, and they get to talk to some interesting city leaders from time to time. One would be the police chief of Frederick City, Jason Lando. And let's catch up with some of what Bob and Chief Lando had to talk about this week.
One of the stories, Chief Lando, that we're reading about today is a Frederick man who was sentenced Wednesday on child pornography offenses. George Gutman, 41, given 20 years, all but 18 suspended. I'm sure there are people who believe that that maybe the punishment sometimes, all the hard work and all the efforts that you guys put into it are not getting what they want, but a part of the story was that that this is becoming a bigger issue in Frederick City, maybe the county as well, and that is the abuse and the use of children when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the technology age now, and you know, kids are really big into tech, so we know that that puts them at a higher risk, more so than ever before, of falling victims to some of these child predators. So I can say that our detectives at FPD, I mean, really in the whole region, but our detectives at FPD do a phenomenal job at investigating these crimes and getting whatever sentences we can get. You know, we're not always thrilled with the accountability piece and how long someone's sentenced to jail on these serious charges. But I think our detectives do a heck of a job at holding them accountable to the best of our abilities.
You know, Bob brings up a really good point about that. And I have two young girls, and I kind of wonder, I know you don't do all the schools in the county, you just take care of the Frederick City School as far as school resource officer. Is there something maybe in the works down the road? Of course, I know parents would have to be involved in this too, where you would kind of discuss with the older kids what to do in that situation if you feel uncomfortable around people or if somebody approaches you from a police perspective.
Our SROs are very, very engaged with the kids in schools. I mean, I have actually had the chance to shadow some of them and go to some events, and they're really seen as mentors to these. You know, you see some of these articles around the country where people are afraid of having police in schools. Well, our officers aren't there to police the kids. They're there to protect them, and they're there to mentor them. So I am, you know, I don't know exactly what conversations are going on day to day, but I can tell you that our officers care deeply, and I'm sure that they're having those conversations, and having those eyes and ears in the school is invaluable.
We are talking with Chief Jason Lando and Chief for a Day, Sergeant Reed Priest, on the Morning News Express. And it kind of goes back. I want to go back to, you know, having the say of any. There was another story that I wrote down over, you know, I kind of know when you're coming on, so I kind of try to hold on some stories. But a man who got 50 years for murder, drug charges, gang activity, my question was, again, what say, if any, do you have those conversations with, say, the state's attorney or somebody in the state's attorney's office that says, and they're like, hey, you know, we think that we're going to go for 10 years, 25 years or whatever. And you're like, dude, this guy needs 50 years.
Is this for Chief Priest or Chief Lando?
Chief Lando.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of things that go into a plea agreement. And so, I don't want to comment or disparage anyone. There are certain times where we disagree with the outcome, with the sentence. But there are a lot of other factors that go into play. And one of those things is, you know, the risk that sometimes you take when you go to trial. And sometimes, you know, we agree to a little bit of a light. And when I say we, I mean the prosecution in general, not necessarily the police officers, where, hey, if we go to trial, it's a roll of the dice. Plus, sometimes we have to put the victims, it re-traumatizes the victims. So sometimes we offer maybe a little bit of a lighter sentence in exchange for a guilty plea, so we know that person's being held accountable and going to jail. It doesn't always sit well with us, but we know that there's a lot of things that go into play. It's not as cut and dry as it sometimes seems. There have been many cases I've been involved in personally prior to coming here where I wasn't happy at all with the amount of time the person got, but it was sure as heck was better than a jury perhaps finding them not guilty and them walking.
So there's a, you know, a give and take then, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that it's not as cut and dry as sometimes as it should be. But you're right. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's a give and take.
There was a stabbing, and the police are investigating of a stabbing death of a man who was found at Mount Olivet Cemetery a bit ago. And I'm kind of wondering, I know you're investigating the case, but is there any significance to the fact that he was found there or not?
So all I can tell you, actually, this morning when I got word that you were going to be looking for an update on this, I did call our supervisors over at Major Crimes. And, you know, we can't release everything, but what I can tell you as of yesterday, actually, is that it has been deemed not to be a homicide and there is no risk to the public. And so that's really the only update I can give you, but it was not a homicide.
I thought that was odd, man. Of all places, a cemetery. I don't recall hearing that before. You know.
Can you confirm that it was a stabbing? Did the guy stab himself?
I really can't go into any more details. I know we still have some notifications to make, talking to the family and whatnot. But just as of about 5 minutes ago, I got the update that yesterday afternoon it was finally found to be not a homicide. So we don't have anyone out there running around looking to do harm to anyone.
That's a good thing.
Yep.
Another story that I saw and a while back, before you were probably here, Chief, and Sergeant Reed Priest, I don't know how long you have been with the department, but there was a time when it was like, well, when Narcan was first being handed out for the police to use, I remember I had some friends in the Sheriff's Department. They were unsure whether or not they wanted to actually administer it because they didn't know if there was going to be any repercussions if something happened when they administered it. We now know how much it does effectively when it comes to people who have OD'd. Now we have it as an over-the-counter maybe and more of a nasal spray. Do you believe at all, as the police officers, that this might kind of increase the usage of heroin and other drugs because now they can just have somebody with it in their pocket over-the-counter?
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. I think what it comes down to, what we got to look at it is, it's just about saving lives. So, like, I can't, you know, I'm not the one, Reed isn't the one to judge whether or not, you know, it would, whether we think it ultimately increases consumption or not. That's kind of for someone else to figure out. But our job every day is to go out there and save lives. And if we have this resource, you know, we have to take advantage of it. We have to use it. You know, I think I understand where you're coming from. Like, we want to make sure that people aren't using this as a crutch and instead of getting out of that predicament that they're in and getting help, that they're not, you know, feeling comfortable continuing to use drugs because of that. We want to get people the help they need. But when it comes down to why the police are carrying it, I mean, our job is every day to go out there and keep the community safe and save lives. And so that's why we carry it.
Sergeant Priest?
Yeah, I don't think there's any data out there to show that the increase in or the prevalence of Narcan in the community is increasing the numbers of use. I think there's other factors, a lot more factors that go into it, like how people are getting hooked on drugs in the first place. So I think, you know, having it as a readily resource for people, you know, to use in crisis is a good thing. The health department distributed to the fire department. I know our numbers of what we've used with our personnel has actually decreased, as well as the number of overdose incidents, you know, in the past year.
I hope you enjoy it. Let me talk something nice. I'm going to do something nice. This is my real gotcha question right here. How come Chief Jason Lando did not play in the Flying Cows versus the Police?
Oh, I was going to ask that question. That's a good question.
It's a basketball game.
Have you seen me?
Yes, but you are the chief of police.
Listen, I was there and I was cheering for the guys and I said, hey, listen, if every single one of you guys should get injured and you absolutely, and I'm the last man standing, I will go out on the court and try my best, but you definitely don't want to see that.
Hey, Bob, I got to tell you real quickly, Chief Lando, he's jacked. He's got some arms in him, man. Like, he's jacked.
We're arm wrestling in the studio right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Chris is a little guy.
I know. Yeah, he is. Yes, he is. Let me play some music here for you. There you go. I mean, there's a... There's Chris. Oh, Chief, look at your arms.
Oh, stop. But, all right. Real quickly, Bob. Chief Lando actually brought up something cool about Sergeant Reese Priest that he wanted to say. So go ahead, Chief.
I just want to shout out Sergeant Priest has an exceptional reputation in the agency, and I totally forgot to mention earlier that, you know, he was talking about the training opportunities, and shortly here, Reed's going to be starting the FBI's National Academy, which is a 10-week program. It's an executive development program for leaders in law enforcement from around the world. And so it's a very difficult opportunity to come by. Cops from all over the world, not just the country, will go down and train at the FBI in Quantico on like the current trends and stuff in law enforcement and policing. So Reed's going to start that. When's your start date, Reed?
March 29th, sir.
So he'll be leaving us for 10 weeks, but he'll come back even more ready to lead. So I just want to give him a shout out for that.
Well, that sounds like a great opportunity, and but now I got to ask, Chief, this is not a path to the FBI. This is just to train leaders in departments around the country to bring that information and to make jurisdictions even better when it comes to policing, right?
Absolutely, yeah. This is not a recruitment thing at all. This is for senior leaders in policing, and they bring in kind of experts from all over the country to help do some professional executive development. This is not a pathway into the FBI. In fact, most folks that go through this program, by the time they're eligible to go through the National Academy, they would be too old to be hired by the FBI because they have an age cap.
Oh, okay. All right. A couple things that I read. We talked to the mayor the other day. Speed limit change on the Golden Mile. I don't know if that's going to really do much, because I think the Golden Mile kind of with the I think the lights aren't timed properly for people to get up that kind of a speed. But obviously, that's something that you guys will be focused on a little bit. Maybe once the it goes into effect, maybe making sure that you might have a few more people out there to make sure they're following that speed limit?
Yeah, I would imagine we would start by doing some education and giving some warnings out so people know for sure that they, you know, people that are used to traveling that roadway for a long time might not have realized the speed limit's dropped. So we'll get out there, we'll do some education, give some warnings before we actually start, you know, writing tickets. But yeah, we just want people to slow down and be safe. We've had, you know, some pedestrian accidents over the past few years, and we just want to keep people safe.
I have a question too regarding residential neighborhoods, because residential neighborhood I live, people just are consistently speeding through a lot of these residential neighborhoods, and it drives us crazy. We have kids who, you know, sometimes play, you know, on the street or walk around. Is there something we can do, or do you target certain residential neighborhoods where you get complaints that people are speeding way too fast? Because we got to do something to slow them down.
So when complaints come in, we actually have a supervisor in the department. You know, I think I talked about the last time I was here that one of our goals for later this year or next year is to stand up a full-time traffic unit. I think Frederick has grown to the point where we need a unit that's just solely devoted to enforcing traffic. Mm-hmm. But for now, we use some of our time during the shift overlap where we have the most manpower, most staffing out on the street to conduct some of that enforcement. And we do that, it's data driven. So we look at all the complaints that come in through our website. So you can go to the Frederick Police website, and if you have to make a complaint, make it on there. Our supervisors will pull that. They'll see, hey, where are we getting the complaints this week? And they'll assign those complaints out during that shift overlap where we have adequate staffing.
All right, we're going to ask. I got one more question, and maybe this is the gotcha question. It's not that big of a deal because it comes off our text line, so it's somebody else's. And it asks, can you please ask Chief Lando why he does official government business on a personal Facebook page? I didn't know you did that. But he does not have an official Chief of Police page where the public can comment, and they don't feel that that's very transparent.
We have the Frederick Police Facebook page where everybody comments. But if I'm at an event and I take a picture, sometimes I'll put it on my own Facebook page. But if anyone wants to comment professionally, they can go to the Frederick Police Department Facebook page, where our PIO, Sam Long, does an amazing job of posting everything police-related on that page.
And so the Weekend Free Talk Express continues on 930 WFMD. Mid-Maryland Live, the afternoon program with Tim May and myself. I spent a lot of time talking this week about the Key Bridge in Baltimore, but we did have time for a few other things. There was a gathering of Democrats running in the primary for the 6th Congressional District this past weekend, and brought up some of the things that they talked about, and Tim had his thoughts on that. Tim, there's a couple elections coming up this year in our listening area.
I've heard about that, Frank.
One is for Congress in the 6th District.
Where?
I just said the 6th District.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention.
I know. And, of course, Mr. Trone is running for U.S. Senate, I've so that is wide open.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you have a bunch of candidates in both parties. On the Democratic side.
Yes.
You had the candidates show up at a gathering.
For what?
I think it was this past weekend in Frederick for the Democratic primary.
Nobody told me. I'd have been there.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'd like to hear what they had to say.
Well, I can tell you, because they addressed some topics that I think may have be of more interest than topics you bring up, Tim, and that some others bring up, as far as what's important to be a congressperson these days in Washington, what issues to deal with. The first person, I'm not going to go through the whole list of, but this was at the Evangelical Reformed United Church of Christ in Frederick. And there are about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 candidates running on the Democratic side to succeed.
Is that all of them?
Congressman Trone.
Is that what they had there, or is that all of them?
That's who was there.
Okay.
And I would imagine that's probably just
about
all of them.
I don't know. I heard all kinds of numbers. I don't know.
But, you know, the 6th District covers Western Maryland and then Frederick and Washington and part of Montgomery County.
Yep.
But they brought up the issues that maybe voters want to hear about.
Sure.
The first comment was climate change is our climate change is our generational crisis.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They're so out of touch with what people are. You know, Frank.
The Federal Inflation Reduction Act opens up possibilities for renewable energy projects.
Yes,
and a chance to look at the country's infrastructure through the lens of climate change.
Now, nothing's wrong with the infrastructure. They got the money for that. When I hear climate change, that means that somebody is such an elitist that they don't have the reality to live in a world where they can't afford prices of medicine and gas and food, and they're worried about climate change. That tells me that person is so elitist, such an elitist status that it has no touch with reality. Yeah, if we all survive and we don't starve to death and, you know, we don't have to go to work and we're bankrupt and we're laying on the street, but you know what I'm concerned about? Climate change. That is the least of concern of any normal person.
Another candidate brought up working with farmers to increase sustainability on their farms.
Sustainability of what?
Another candidate brought up electrifying more buses and cars and expanding MARC train service and employing smart growth and mixed-use development practices.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are, you know, the real issues.
These are not real issues, Frank. If you go look at what people are talking about, that is so far.
And there are too many immigrants.
No, they're right. Here's the problems in the country. Inflation, immigration. These are the problems that people are talking about, Frank. They're not talking about, oh, man, we better do something about the climate. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no way. Oh, electric cars. We already saw with the electric car. That's not going to work, Frank, because people don't want them. And when people don't want something, they're not going to buy it.
Another candidate talked about the need to train more young people to give them more opportunities to learn green jobs.
Oh, for crying out loud. How about training to go to work? That would be a miracle. Rather than have them living in the basement, to have them go to get a job. Here's what I call a green job. Go out and cut the grass. That would be a green job. Mm. See, this is a group of elitists that are so far out of touch with real people. Real people. Not normal people, because real people is what I'm saying. I mean, yeah, all these things might be good, and they might be wonderful. They may be something that's in the back of your mind you've got to do. But let's look at the priorities. Not one of the you have not touched immigration. You have not touched inflation. Neither of them. And those are the two biggest things. You keep running on, I'm running for the climate change, you're going to end up, you know, walking around talking to yourself because you're not going to be in office. That's my humble opinion. What's your opinion? 301-694-WFND. This is an elitist attitude that if that's all you have to think about, you know, rather than going to work and
We're talking about the forum over the weekend in Frederick featuring Democratic candidates for the 6th District Congressional race.
I wasn't there.
Another candidate's understands the importance of the issue.
Of what?
Immigration.
Hallelujah.
As the daughter of Jamaican immigrants said, the country
Who
needs
cares?
To process immigration cases faster.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fine on the legal ones. How about we don't have the millions of people, that 10 million people that we have to process, that we don't even, that aren't even supposed to be here. Let's just do that.
Then other candidates talked about the need to expedite the approval of work permits and adding more judges to process immigration cases.
Lord. How about we first of all slow down the immigration onslaught? That would be the first thing to do. Would that hurt somebody's feeling? We protect the country, we secure its borders. No, less we do need more judges to get these people processed in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure you do. Mm-hmm. Whew, wow.
And then
along came Joe.
The topic came up of income inequality.
What's that mean? I have no idea what you're talking
about.
It
means the country needs to find ways to create more affordable housing and child care.
But get a job. There's affordable care. Get a job. That would make sense to me.
It discourages getting a job if you don't have child care.
Well, how about this? Maybe you don't have a child until you can afford it.
Now you want to discourage having children. Okay.
Well, I think, frankly, it's the responsible thing to do that you have a child and you're able to raise them and afford that child the necessities of life. And if you can't, maybe you need to think twice. But no, let's not do that. The government will help.
I've got more issues that were brought up.
You got issues, all right, Frank. You have a whole subscription. Let's go to John Doe. What say you, John Doe?
Well, I need to ask Frank, what is a green job?
Frank, tell him what a green job is.
Well, I'm just telling you about this meeting. I'm not,
What's a green job? He just asked you a fair question. You recited it. I thought it was mowing grass. Apparently, that's not a green job. Working on the green.
A green job is perhaps, look at all this trash that we're, dumping in landfills and hauling some off to Pennsylvania.
We need more garbage collectors.
We need more composting. Is what we
you
need.
You can't compost plastic, okay, Frank. Go ahead.
Okay. That would be the homeowner's job to compost. Yep. Or if you're going to send it to a composting site. But what is a green job? Is it the people that build solar panels? Is it the people that build windmills? That's not green jobs. That's construction. There's the biggest construction company around here builds solar, but it's not a green job.
It's a green construction job. No?
It's a construction job on a solar site, and they don't give a darn what you're building. They're building something.
Absolutely.
I mean, the guy doesn't wake up in the morning and says, I want to go work on a construction site to build solar panels. No, he wakes up, I got to go job. I work in construction.
Absolutely.
I mean, the crane operator that lifts the turbines up, he's always a crane operator. Today, he's just lifting turbines up. There's no such thing as a green job.
But, whoops, we're out of time. Join us all week long and join us on the weekend for some of the highlights of what we talked about during the week right here on the Weekend Free Talk Express. Have a great Easter weekend, and we will see you next week.
Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com.